Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me in the extra hour is Pat Hamilton.
What's up?
What's up? What's up? And the man, Mr. Gymnastics, Steve Kalaszewski.
In the house.
In the house. Well, listen, if you're just joining us in the extra hour, you want to catch the first hour? We talked about the Constitution, the original intent. You got to understand why this thing even came to pass. Why? What were they thinking? They were thinking good stuff. We talked about Bloomberg being added again. You don't want to miss it. I know it. I know it. I know it. You don't want to miss it. Creation speaks. Creation speaks of his majesty and the glory of God. Pull back that shade. Look out the window. Look at the sun. If it's raining, enjoy the rain. It's all good. In the extra hour, we got so much to share with you. We're talking about intimacy with God. We've been talking about going for it, going after God with everything you got. We're going to talk about, hopefully, the death to ambition. Death to ambition. And so much more. We're going to get to the valedictorian. Oh, my goodness, there's so much to share. Well, you know, guys, connectivity with God is so important. Being one with the Lord is everything. And the Bible says in Amos, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? How can you walk with God? How can you say that God is your best friend? How can you say that you love the Lord, that he's your Savior, your Lord and Savior, if you don't walk with him, if you don't talk with him? You got to walk together with him. There has to be a connectivity, a closeness, a oneness. Uniting with God. That's what united with God means. It means that you are one with him. And it's powerful when you can do that. Many Christians today are asking God to bless what they're doing rather than doing what God's blessing. And it's like, I don't need to walk with God. I just need to consult him here or there. I've got plans. I've got things that I want to do and to do for him.
Right.
I don't need it. I'll just consult with him. And they try to lead God over to what they're doing instead of following God and what he's doing. Listen, this is not a good strategy. I mean, one involves pride and the other involves humility, you know? But if we are going to be children of the light, if we're going to be lovers of God, if we're going to experience God in the fullness of, that is available to us. Remember that you can have as much of God as you want. The question is, how much do you want? You got to be close to him.
Yeah.
You got to be right with him. Have you ever been in a situation where everyone is present, but not everyone is connected? I mean, everybody's there. Everybody showed up. They're at the party. They're at the gathering. They're present, but they're just not connected. Maybe you've seen this in your family. Everybody's home. Everyone's at the kitchen table. But there's no connectivity. There's no uniting. There's no togetherness. Maybe you've seen this among your fellowship. Everyone's there singing all the right songs and worshiping the Lord, but it's just like a clanging cymbal. There's no harmony. There's no unity. There's no togetherness. It's all over the place. Maybe you've seen this in your marriage. We've been together for 35 years. Yeah, but there's no unity there. I mean, you live in the same home. You're in the same roof. Maybe you sleep in the same bed. But there's no togetherness. There's no uniting. There's no oneness. And the Lord said even in the marriage that the two shall become one. There is a oneness to experience. If God wants us in marriage, and marriage is not the answer to everything, Right? If God wants us to experience a oneness in marriage, how much more does God want us to experience a oneness in Him?
Mm.
A togetherness, a uniting, one heart, one soul, one mind, one spirit. God's called us to this beautiful place of intimacy. But what about it? How about your relationship with God? Are you present? But maybe that's all. You're just kind of like present. But you're not quite united with Him. You're not quite connected. And you know when you're connected now. You know when you're connected, and you should know when you're not. But there's no connectivity. God seems so far away. If you're still calling Him the man upstairs, I don't know.
Check that. That's a check right there.
If he's just your co-pilot, I don't know. May want to pray about that. But no man's an island.
Mm-hmm.
No Christian believer can make it independent, living independent, or having a casual, if you could say that, a casual walk with God. It just doesn't happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm amazed, you know, there's a slipping that can happen. There's an occurrence in all how you come to meet the Lord. Listen, don't measure. The Bible says those that measure themselves by themselves are not wise. You should never measure your walk with God compared to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Not to the person sitting to the left of you, not to the person sitting to the right of you, not even to your own pastor, because you need to have an individual walk with Jesus Christ. You yourself, you've got to know Him, and He's got to know you. And you have just as much right and pleasure and access to God than to anyone that you know. To know that, to understand that you have access to the King. You have access to Abba, the Father. That the door is always open. He doesn't have to be the man upstairs. He doesn't have to seem so far away when we understand the great pleasure, the amazingness that is available to us by having access. Mm. Let me tell you, access is a powerful thing. People in this world spend a lot of money to have access to people of power, just to have access, just to have their phone. There's some phone numbers in certain people's Rolodex. That doesn't mean a thing. Bubba's, Jimmy's, Bob's, you know what I'm saying? Then there's other people's phone numbers in their Rolodex that's on their cell phone that means something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the president's on your cell phone and you can call him up, that means something. If the prime minister in Great Britain, Cameron, is on your cell phone, that means something. If someone else of influence, if you have the pastor stuff, that means something. He has got stuff to do. He meets before God. And if you have his stuff, that means something. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But that means you have access. You have the opportunity to speak with someone. Listen, if you have access to God and you do through Jesus Christ, the curtain has been torn. There's no in-between between you and God. No one needs to stand in your way. You have access. Enjoy the access. Enjoy. Pick up the phone, if you will.
Mm.
Talk to Him. He'll love to hear from you.
Yeah. His line ain't busy.
His line's not busy. Mm-mm. Right?
Mm.
The Bible says that he who unites himself with the Lord is one spirit with Him. That's in 2 Corinthians. Think about that statement. He who unites himself, you who take the responsibility of you uniting yourself with Him, not Him with you. I mean, I don't know the exact statistic, but it's an alarming statistic that George Barna shares how the church at large feels that worship is about them. Let's catch a clue. Worship here. Let's just shed some light here.
Yeah.
Worship is not about us. It's about Him.
Yeah.
It's all about Him. We're not gearing up and having a few praises and then get into it. No, it's all about Him. It's all about coming to a place of acknowledgement of our focusing, our attention, our spirit, our mind, our soul. We're focusing. We're giving Him praises. We're using the body, the mouth that we speak umpteen words that week. We're taking maybe a moment, a season in our time where we're just sharing our gratitude, sharing our love. We're sharing His majesty and His splendor. We're telling him how wonderful he is. You're beautiful. You're amazing, God. And listen, I'm your creation, and I'm going to tell you, if nobody tells you, I'm going to tell you today that I love you. I thank you for you. I thank God for you. Because you're just great. And you give me access to you. I'm telling you that I don't understand. If you're saying that maybe your walk is a little bit boring today and maybe you just feel disconnected, listen, that means no intimacy.
Hmm.
You can have it. You can be with them. You can be one.
But you got to go after them.
But you got to go after them.
Mm-hmm.
You
got to
seek them with all your heart.
That's right.
And when you seek him, you'll find him.
That's right.
You shared last week how it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of men
to search it out.
To search it out. There's a glory in God.
Yeah, is God worth searching out for you?
Yes.
Is he worth it?
Yes.
Because I tell you what, he is.
He is. There's a searching. There is a time, and we can't do drive-by abidings and drive-by spending with time with the Lord and California stops, I call them. You come to a stop sign and you just kind of, that's when you hit the pause of the brake and you keep going. No, you got to come to a complete full stop. You've got to set your appointments aside and you got to make sure what is the most important appointment you have that day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, the most, you know, you got to evaluate what you're doing. And I talk about this often that a proverb says that a wise man, a wise woman gives thought to their ways. It's time to do some evaluation, some thinking, some meditating on life and how we're living and what's going on. Listen, these days, there's so much happening. So many things that are happening at your fingertips. So much information. So many places to go. So many things to see.
Mm-hmm.
So many demands on your life like never before. But let me tell you, there's one appointment that you can't live missing. It's the most important appointment you have. It's that appointment when you just set that time aside to meet with the Father.
Mm.
When you set that time aside to say, God, that you are important to me. See, you have an invitation to meet with God, to have intimacy. And you break that word down, it's like into me see. God allows you to see into his heart, and he'll see into your heart. And it's a heart-to-heart, spirit-to-spirit communication. Most people, listen, if you can't have intimacy with God, who can you have intimacy with?
Yeah.
And what makes relationships so powerful is that when they share a little bit about themselves, you know, with each other, there's a connectivity that happens. The more you learn about someone, the more you learn about their experiences, what they enjoy, what they don't like, the things about their family, there's a certain bondness that occurs. There's a certain glue, if you will, that makes you say, wow, I like that in him or her, and they like that same thing in me, and we have these same likes, and that's pretty cool. You would say, that's a good guy, or that's a good girl, and oh, that's a nice person.
Right.
And because you took the time to connect.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you don't have time to connect with God, how could you? And what are your other connections based upon in life and your other relationships? I find that the most meaningful relationships that I have are those that are connected to the same one that I'm connected with. And that's him, the Lord. Mm-hmm. The most meaningful, because we talk about his awesomeness and his greatness and his love and his miracles and all the stuff that he does on a daily, daily basis. But how can we walk in intimacy if we don't have that time? If you ask someone today, how important is God to you? You give them a choice. I want you to circle. Not at all, somewhat, or very. What would you circle? Now, I would dare say that a great majority of people in this country, let's say the United States, and I've had some experience asking these questions before, but I say a great majority, maybe 80, 90%, conservatively speaking, would say God is very important.
Mm-hmm.
He's very important. Yep, I would agree with that statement. Now the next question is, do you spend time with God daily reading his word and in prayer. Does that happen none of the times, some of the times, or often? What would that question be? I could almost say that it's probably not going to be the same ratio of those that said he was very important. And the thing with God is that he's not into our lip service. He's into our fruit.
Yeah.
What we do, you know, says what we believe.
Right.
Not what we say. And I think about Isaiah when God says, you know, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.
Mm-hmm.
And so many have honored and said things from their lips with their mouth about God and God's this and God bless America and the good Lord and the good book and all the great things that people say. But their life doesn't even say they forget love God. Their life doesn't even say they like God. In fact, their life testifies that they hate God.
Mm.
And they would be absolutely shocked to come to that revelation.
Mm-hmm.
But God's looking at our life. He's not looking about what we say. He's looking at what we do. And here's an encouragement for us. Listen, while we're still breathing, while we still have access on this earth to him, we should take advantage as much as we can, because intimacy is the only way. Intimacy with God is the only way to understand the Father's heart, to understand his will,
mm-hmm.
and to understand his ways.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to know what God's will is by having drive-by time with him and, you know, catching him on the run,
mm-hmm.
listening to maybe a message here or there, you know. How are you going to know his ways? The same thing is true in any relationship. If it's true in your marriage or with your kids or anyone else, how much more true is it with God?
Mm.
You know, being with the Lord is all about a journey. And it's all about making sure that we don't forget what matters most.
Mm-hmm.
And not to let other things in our life choke out the things that matter. What matters most to you today? Is it your job? Is it your family? Is it your health? Do we spend more time working out than we do actually spending time with God? We spend more time doing stuff for us than we do spending time with him. We can enjoy him, and he wants us. It's not for us to get all down. It's just for us to evaluate. I'd rather do this evaluation on this side
mm-hmm.
than on the other side. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Let's open the books now. There's grace and mercy and forgiveness. You know what I mean? But let's investigate. Let's evaluate. The Bible says even to examine ourselves to see if we're even still in the faith. When do you do that? When do we do that? We have to be engaged. We got to let the main thing be the main thing. And oftentimes what happens is that what matters least oftentimes crushes in and affects what matters the most.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you that God has a time set for us. He's invited us to abide with him. And John 15 shares with us and talks in detail about how we can do nothing apart from God. But in him, if we remain in him and be connected to him, we can do all things through him. Now, people are quick to quote, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And they write it on all sorts of stuff and put it everywhere. But God's going to strengthen those that are with him, not those that are not with him.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? The scriptures are not a hocus pocus thing that we can throw at the wall and say, okay, because I write a scripture down, or this is what the word of God says. You know, the word of God, and this is so important because you see this happening in the world today. Anyone these days are clinging on to scriptures and they don't even serve God. There's life in the word for those who have the life inside of them. The word of God and the blessings of the Lord are for those that actually have Jesus in their life. But you can't just pick a scripture off of the shelf and say, I like that one and I'm going to run. No, hey, listen. God's inviting you to a place of intimacy. He's inviting you a place where you can seek him every day, all day, as much as you want. And it's not as hard as religion has made it out to be. We have a simple plan. And we come back from the break, we're going to talk to you about this simple plan. Free. how you can enjoy the fullness of God each and every single day and enjoy intimacy with the Father. This is what you were created for. This is your inheritance. Make sure that you get it.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Everyone needs a laugh, and we've got one for you from Dennis Swanberg on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
How many of y'all have a George Foreman grill? Raise your hand, anybody. Is that awesome? A George Foreman grill. I mean, you put your hamburger patties in there, and then all the grease goes down into a tray. Every bit of that grease goes down into a tray, catches every drop of grease. Then you take your bread and daub it in there. I love it. I love it. You don't lose one drop of it. Not one drop. For some of you wealthy people that go to a country club, you're wondering what I'm talking about. I'll tell you, you know what that is in the tray? Au jus. That's the stuff that George Foreman saves for you.
Laughter is good for the soul, and you'll find more audio presentations from Dennis Swanberg and lots of laughs at FocusOnTheFamily.com.
You just really wouldn't think it's possible. I mean, how could this be? Why would anybody really want to harm us? Why would anybody want to reprogram the way we think? Why would anybody want to fundamentally transform our nation from its original founding fathers' intent as God, as our foundation? Why would anybody want to take over our children's lives? Well, the reason why is because they say a hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. When you train your children up in the way that you want them to go, that's how they'll go. God's called us to train our children in the way they should go. But let's just don't take our word for it. Let's look back at history and see what happened when they found out what Hitler was doing in the very same time with the church trying to de-Christianize a nation. And that's what's happening today in America. You're looking at in every corner, in every infeeding of news and media and presentation is to just remove God out of the public arena, to de-Christianize America, but it's just the sins of the past. Listen up.
In 2002, a Jewish law student uncovered a report from the Nuremberg trials in the 1940s. It was compiled by members of the OSS, an American spy agency in World War II. The report was called The Nazi Master Plan, The Persecution of the Christian Churches. And it laid out a step-by-step plan to de-Christianize Germany. Take over the churches from within, using party sympathizers. Discredit, jail, or kill Christian leaders. Re-indoctrinate the congregants. Give them a new faith in Germany's Third Reich.
So where were Germany's Christians in all of this? Most of them were too frightened to protest. But a small remnant of Christians did stand up against the Reich Church. A group of 3,000 Protestants, known as the Confessing Church, openly defied Hitler and paid the price.
Adolf Hitler said, "I'll make those damned parsons feel the power of the state in a way they'd never believed possible. If I ever have the slightest suspicion that they're getting dangerous, I will shoot the lot of them."
700 pastors from the Confessing Church were arrested. Many of them were murdered or sent to concentration camps.
There is such a thing as evil, and this man is evil. Hitler has no permanent loyalties. If you cross him, you'll die.
Understand that that is the ultimate goal of adversary Satan, is to steal, kill, and destroy. That actually happened. Removing the knowledge of the Jews and God's people from the land. Concentration camps. That was what the end result was. JJ, listen, we have to pay attention. Jews and Jesus, understand this. The church and the Jews won't end up well if we continue in this direction. De-Christianizing America? Well, we need to stand up like the Confessing Church did and say, no, no more. As for me and my house, as for me and my city, as for us and our nation, we will be one that acknowledges God.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat, the producer, and Steve. We're talking about intimacy with God and how what matters least should never, ever, ever come against what matters the most in our life. And if we say that God is what matters most, if we say that he's the number one thing, we say that God is very important, then we need to take an honest evaluation and say, does my lifestyle, does my daily life reflect that?
Yeah.
And does it reflect that in taking time out to be with the Lord? Can that be seen in my life?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you that we're coming to a day, and it's soon approaching, that even this conversation as an option of spending time with God is not going to be the only way you're going to be able to make it, survive, is to be with him. And I remember what the Lord told me earlier this year. He said, you know, the only way to make it, right? Man will not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You got to be in his will. You got to be listening to his voice. And listening to his voice is just part of it.
There's this thing called obedience.
Oh,
yeah. Then you got to respond.
Did you just say obedience?
The O word.
The O word. Because you know what? Hearing him is one thing, but he's going to tell you something.
Yeah.
And he's not telling you something just for fluff. He's telling you something because he wants you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's called obedience. So there's two parts: hearing him, and then obeying him, doing what he says to do.
That's where you have to choose.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that I know you're talking about going after God, and this is what it's all about. You know, having intimacy is something, not that it's not a passive role.
No, it's very active. I mean, you think about searching, you think about digging, and you know, John, you were just talking about that as far as like, you know, is God worth searching out? Is he worth going after? Because he is, and it's not. I mean, the very fact that you could have someone say, you know, I don't really go after God, I don't really think about it, testifies the fact that you just haven't encountered him. Because if you knew how awesome he was, you're like, oh my goodness, I just can't get enough. You've got to encounter this God that he just talked to me. Oh my goodness, let me tell you about him. Like that's that encounter that we need every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we do it once, it's just like, oh my goodness, I want to do it again. And God was really speaking to me yesterday and then also this morning in James. And he talks about God wants us to be humble.
Mm-hmm.
He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to those who are humble. And it says in James, he talks about the fact, he says, James 4, he says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. And I just looked at that and I think about the action, the process of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, we have got to, like you're saying, we've got to submit our plans to God and be like, you know what, God, I want my plans to be your plans.
Right.
When we submit ourselves, when we're humble before God, we come to him. And then the word says, then resist the devil. It's like, well, no, wait, this is me and God time. I want to go after God. And then the devil knows that. He knows how powerful it is for us to spend time with God. So he's going to come in. All of a sudden, it's just like all these distractions. And just like you're saying, sometimes the most least important things is that which comes to snuff out the most important things.
Mm-hmm.
You're setting time up to abide. Got your Bible out.
And the phone.
Your alarm set.
Mm-hmm.
You know, got your everything set. Coffee.
Yeah.
Sitting in your chair.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend time with the Lord. I heard VFN radio and that's me. And I want to be united with God. I want the real deal in my life. I want the Lord. Like Steve says, phone rings.
Yeah.
Or blip, text comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Or gling, email comes in. Or some other distraction comes. And distractions will come. The question is, you know, are you like shiny object, there he goes. Yeah. You know, does every shiny object pull you away from what matters the most?
Mm-hmm.
You get with little children, you put a little shiny object here, a little shiny object there, and the babies are like mesmerized.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to understand going into your abiding and your intimacy, and that's what you're saying, Steve, is that the enemy can distract you. You know, not everything, every distraction is the enemy, but believe you me, the enemy would love to steal your intimacy with God and pull you away from it. But you got to prepare.
Yeah.
You got to prepare for those type of things. You don't maybe bring your cell phone with you when, you know, if you're abiding, you know, you're spending time with the Lord. You turn off all your phones and you don't check your emails real quick. You don't do other stuff because you'll be robbed from your time.
Well, the same way too. I mean, it's not just in your abiding time, but it's during that meeting, like, oh my goodness, you know, after work, you got a lunch set up. You're supposed to spend time with pastor. And all of a sudden that random relative calls and there's an emergency. But some reason that same emergency always seems to come up when you're supposed to get that meeting with pastor. You're supposed to get that or whatever. The devil knows how important it is for you to spend time with God.
Mm-hmm.
And I can, and continuing in this, and it just says, if we resist the devil when we're seeking God, when the devil comes in to steal, when we resist him, the devil will flee. And you continue on in the scripture in verse 8, he says, come near to God. So we're still pursuing. We're pursuing. We're resisting the enemy. We're going after God. Come near to God, and he, being God, will come near to you. God sees all that. And just like you were talking about before, it's just like we see those moments where we trip up. We see those moments where we mess up. But God sees those moments when we're just pursuing, when we have that perseverance, when we go after him.
Mm-hmm.
And I continue reading in that. And, you know, we were just talking yesterday about compassion. We need compassion.
Mm.
And you continue in James, and in verse 5, they start talking about Job and what Job went through and everything and the loss and the attacks that he went through. But if you when you read in Job, God allowed all that. And it says in James 5, verse 11, he says, as you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. Job went through that process. He resisted the devil. We have to resist the devil because there's that choice.
Mm.
Because temptation is going to come in because the devil knows where we're the most, where we're the weakest.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to try to bring that in ever so subtly. And also we don't even realize it, but we never abided. We never made it to that meeting. But if when we can resist the devil and continue to go after God, he says, and we have seen what the Lord has finally brought out after that. He says, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy.
Mm.
And that's what that's where it stopped me this morning, because we just talked about that yesterday. And the most powerful thing that God just, I've heard it, I've said it many times, is that God just wants us to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
But the most powerful thing is everything we need is in Christ alone. If it's peace, if it's mercy, if it's wisdom, if it's calmness, if it's compassion.
The self-sufficiency of Christ.
Exactly.
Mm.
It's beautiful.
The amazing thing is that to be like him is to simply be with him. Because for the last, I mean, I have just been racking my brain, like, God, what's your will? What's your will? I mean, this next season, God, what are you doing? God, what are you doing? And I was on a jog just trying to let my mind go and just calm and just, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? And it's amazing how that subtle whisper of the Lord will just stop you dead in your tracks.
Yeah.
And in the middle of jogging, he says, son, my will for you is for you to be with me. That's all he said.
It's so important.
It's huge.
It's so important because so many times you can get so caught up in trying to do something for God or trying to figure God,
but
God's
it.
Just saying, look,
yeah,
be with me.
Yeah.
And when we're with God and we're abiding with God and we're spending time with him, we're having intimacy, God's not looking, you know, he doesn't want us to come to him always for marching orders or for, you know, this discovery. He just wants us to be with him. And as we are with him, this unfolding takes place.
Mm.
We're so wrapped up in him that before you know it, it's like, we start looking around and this unnatural process of unfolding materializes. But it's beautiful what he said to you, because we talk about let the main thing be the main thing. Listen, the safest place to be in your life, the safest place to be is in the will of God.
Mm.
And the will of God for you today. Wonder what the will of God for you is today? Is to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
Is to spend time with him.
Mm-hmm.
Is to love him. It's to keep him number one, the number one thing in your life. And as you do that, as you behold him, he will take you from glory to glory. He'll speak to you,
mm-hmm.
and his perfect plan will be unveiled, revealed to you when you spend time with him. Because
mm-hmm.
we've got to remember that God's just looking for our intimacy and heart, and we're not spending time with God just to find out what he wants us to do. We're spending time with him because you're just that cool. You're just that awesome that we just want to be with you.
Yeah.
And then once we're with him, he says, hey, why don't you check this out? Why don't you do this and lay something on your heart? And before you know it, it's like, wow,
yeah.
all of this came as a result of being with him. As human, you know, God created us to be human beings, not human doings.
Right.
And the most powerful thing we can do is just be.
Mm.
He says, be still and know that I'm God. He doesn't say be doing.
That's right.
What is it about us? We want to do something, want to do something, want to do something.
He said, loving him is not that hard.
No. No, it isn't.
It's just simply hanging out with him.
Hanging out with him.
Being real with him. And that is the simplicity of it. That's that love affair. That's that relationship of just, like you're saying, that intimacy, that conversation, that talking. And it's just not about that list of prayers and doing it right and all this. And it's just like, I want you to know my heart, and I want to know your heart, and I want others to know your heart. Because that's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
It's powerful.
Knowing him and making him known.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you know him, and the more you spend time with him, the more that you love on him and he loves on you, the more that you want to make him known with others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the whole thing. It's knowing him and making him known. My goodness, listen, you want to seek God with everything you have. This is the chance that you have, the opportunity. And we've said this before, but the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during the lifetime of that opportunity.
Yeah.
Seek God while you can. Seek God while you still have a Bible. Seek God when that you still have a place to seek him.
All right.
It doesn't cost you a thing. Listen, you can get a simple plan. We have it available for you. Doesn't cost you a thing. It's free. But you need a plan. You got to have a plan. You got to know when to start. You got to know how to start. You got to know where to begin, what to do. And you can get that by going to iabide.org. If you go to iabide.org, that's iabide.org, request your plan.
Yeah.
And instantly you'll have a plan that'll put you on a path, that'll put you on a journey where you can encounter and experience God like you've never have before.
Mm-hmm.
And that you yourself can testify and say, I've heard the voice of the Lord, and I've obeyed. I've enjoyed his presence, and he made me whole. And you can not encounter God just once, or you don't have to wait to go to a large gathering to encounter God, but you can encounter a God in your home. Let me tell you something, that if the only time you encounter God is in a public gathering, there is more. In fact, there is experiences and opportunities to encounter God that are even far greater than what you experience in a public gathering.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just that much more intimate, and mm-hmm. it's just that much more special.
Mm-hmm.
One word from God is all that you need.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at bfntv.com.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Before you do that.
Yes.
Before you say
yes. Yes.
So here I am. Here I there I was.
There you were.
There I was.
All using yourselves.
Yeah, the I put it, you know, anyway.
Yes.
Down in the Emerald Coast, we have not only snails that eat houses, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes, it's true. Yeah, hey,
not only do we have mosquitoes that are very widespread.
Size of your hand.
Size of your hand.
Mm.
We have all kinds of things. And so Don and I got the back porch. We just put a screen around it.
Mm.
And so you can actually use the back porch. It's totally different in this neck of the woods. You definitely want to have a screen so you can enjoy it. So, especially since there wasn't a freeze going on, what you get a screen for? Signs the time, bro. Signs the time. That's where the locusts will land outside on the screen, right? If they would have had a screened room with the locusts coming, they would have actually...
They would have made it.
Yeah, would have at least saved the food and the day's worth of food. You know, Tozer was writing in some of his writings that in Jesus' day, to be considered wealthy, it meant that you had... 2 days worth of clothes and a day's worth of food.
Wow.
Wow.
That's what wealth meant when Jesus was talking. Imagine how wealthy he sees America today. So anyway, so I look at him, the man putting in the screen. I said, listen, the whole purpose of this is to keep the locusts on the outside, right? That's the whole purpose. Now, if you can't do that, there ain't no reason to put it up. He goes, oh, man, I guarantee there's not going to be any... thing getting in here at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, wow, I wonder what that's like to sit on the back porch without having
right,
things landing in your ear and stuff at nighttime. Well, look at the sun. Look at the bug in my ear. Anyway, and so I just happened to be out there last night, and it was dark, and I kept on hearing this boom, 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 and I'm thinking, man, what's Donna doing, right? It's supposed to be peaceful out here. Why isn't it peaceful? And it's boom. Boom, I'm thinking, what is that? What is going on? It went for the longest time. So I'm thinking, well, obviously there's some sort of locust trying to get in from the outside. But then all of a sudden, as I'm hearing all this, I kind of looked down in the dark, and I saw something darker than the dark launching itself against the screen. I'm thinking, oh my goodness.
Is there a warranty on this thing?
I didn't let anything in. I did not let anything in here with me. How did it get in here?
It was in?
And so it was in. It was in. In.
Trying to get out.
In. Now, he's talking about no mosquito. This thing was this big. And so I finally, you know, make it quickly to the light. What is this thing? All kinds of things down here. And it was a frog. A whole frog. A whole frog.
I wish I could be.
A frog. A frog. Now, he told me a mosquito couldn't get in. A frog can't even get out. It's going like boom, 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 trying to commit suicide. I'm like, what are you doing? And how did this go? So I took a picture of it.
Oh.
And I'm gonna contact him and say, listen. Take this thing down. A frog got in there.
Put this on your website.
A frog got in this screened-in room. All kinds of locusts going to get in here. My goodness, I couldn't believe that.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
I wish I would have been to see that frog.
I need a refund.
You're right. No doubt. He's going to hear about it. I want the frog holes closed up. I don't know where a frog... I don't know what he did. A demon.
Might have trapped him in there, will you?
He had to be there a while.
And those frogs get big, too. Was it a big one?
Oh, it was big. I got a picture of it. I got a picture of that puppy. He's looking at me going like, I'm trying to get out. I just can't get out. It's like, you shouldn't be here in the first place.
Phew,
like the plagues were supposed to be on the outside of that screen, exactly. Not on the inside of the screen.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos. And joining with me back from the break is Pat and Steve. We're talking about intimacy with God. It's our pleasure. It's our joy to spend time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
And just to spend time with Father God. Let me tell you, God loves you. His door is always open.
Mm-hmm.
And he's ready. He is absolutely ready just to be with you. You just got to be ready to be with him.
That's all right.
Well, you know, as we come to the end of the extra hour, I had a chance to read this really great article. I don't often go to this magazine, but Charisma Magazine had an article from Francis Frangipane. If you remember Francis Frangipane, yeah. And he wrote this great article about why you must kill your ambitions. You know, ambition is such a crazy thing. You know what I'm saying? It's a crazy thing. Philippians 2:3 tells us, do nothing. Nothing, if you break that word apart, nothing, it's actually two words. No thing.
Yeah.
Do no thing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but instead, right, in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And there's this thing about ambition. The Bible warns us not to be about it and not to do anything from a position of ambition. And ambition is defined as being eager or having a strong desire to achieve something, such as fame or power, and you can add notoriety or whatever. Mm-hmm. But at the bottom line is not doing anything that brings attention to yourself. He goes on to say, actually, in this article, he says, when I first came to Christ, this is Francis Frangipane, the Lord gave me a dream about my future, and I was so excited. I thought everything he showed me in the dream would occur immediately. I didn't know I would have to go through a process of preparation that involved dying to self, mm-hmm. learning patience, and maintaining vision through the testing before God's promises would be fulfilled. That's huge. Because I think oftentimes people give their lives to the Lord. They're excited, you know, especially if, you know, VFNU. Listen, you got to get in VFNU. VFNU.org. Check it out. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that more. But you want to get ready for the harvest. You want to get ready to be sent out and be used by God. And you receive a prophetic word, and I'm going to the nations, and the Lord's going to use us to reach multitude millions. And yes, it's all wonderful and glorious, and this is exciting. But we can do things, we can try to do the right things in the wrong way,
Or we can try and make it happen.
Hello,
in our timing,
right things, wrong way, is still the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And we need to do the right things, which is God's way, in God's timing, for it to be a God thing. And what happens is that there's a preparation that takes place. If you are not prepared for what God is bringing, you know, to pass, that's not going to be a good thing. Because oftentimes, you know, it's not just about God preparing you, but it's also, too, about God preparing the people that he's going to send you to.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm.
You have to know the timings of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and God's not in a hurry. He has got no problem with time, okay? He is never in a hurry. But this process involves a dying to self, right? God gives a man a vision. Mm-hmm. Then he kills the man.
And then brings forth the
vision. And then brings forth the vision. Because why? God does not want us to fulfill this vision, this plan, this dream in our own flesh. You got to fulfill this plan, this dream with humility. He says, do nothing, Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition, anything to do with self or vain conceit, but instead, in humility, go out and do it. Consider others better. And there's a process. There's a dying to self. There's a learning. Mm-hmm. And then you have to maintain a vision. It's amazing how there's a testing period in your life and your walk with God, that you have to be willing to stay in the testing. Mm-hmm. God said it, he's going to do it. And think about Abraham, he's going to be the father of many nations. He had to test that vision. He had to maintain it. Mm-hmm. He had to hold on to it. He had to persevere. He had to work through it. And if he got caught up in selfish ambition, God told me, I'm going to be, my name is Abraham. You know, it was Abram.
Right.
It was Abram. But now I'm Abraham. You know what I'm saying? You know, listen.
See my name tag.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
God said this, you know?
But you can get carried away and think, okay, well, it's not happening fast enough, and you end up creating Ishmaels.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, God has a way of opening the door, but he doesn't need you to get the hammer and the chisel and take the door off the frame. He knows how to open it.
Mm.
He knows how to swing wide. He knows how to bring you into what he is going to do. Remember, we talked about not getting God to bless your plans, but to do what God is blessing. Don't be so much in a hurry. We talked in the first hour how you just need to be still and know God. The most powerful thing you can do for God is to know him. There's so many people trying to do something for God that don't even know him. Or it's like, we need to stop all of that. It's like, do you even know God that you're actually teaching, preaching about?
Yeah.
You're not even abiding and you're teaching and preaching. Like, what? Copy pasting messages from Google. Like, good, what?
Yeah.
It's about having a fresh word of what God is saying, not a good idea. God's not asking us to share the good idea. He's asking us to share the good news. Not what we Googled up, pasted up, borrowed up. Because God is sharing a fresh word, and it requires that you have his heart. And if you don't have his heart, and if you don't have his understanding, if you're not spending time with him, don't say a word. Because your first call of ministry is to know him. If you're never satisfied with ministering to the audience of one, you're never qualified to share with an audience of thousands.
That's right.
The only audience that you should be concerned about is the audience of one, and that's the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Minister to him. He loves it.
Mm-hmm.
And God will prepare you. He'll get you ready for what he wants to do.
I don't know if you remember that in the book, Fourth Dimension. Remember Pastor Cho, he was talking about, you know, God had showed him he was going to do all these things. But before he got started, though, he sat in a room in a chair by himself preaching to nobody.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
It was an empty room.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was awesome. I remember that.
Yeah. I remember that.
That was his preparation time.
Preparation. Talk to the Lord about what he's sharing and put it on your heart. He goes on to say, in fact, I thought, this is Francis Fangipane, I thought having a promise from God was the same as receiving a command from him. I wasn't aware that I did not yet have what it took to step into his perfect plan. Big difference, a promise and a command. You know, a command, God's preparing you. He's equipped you. It's time to do it. A promise is this is what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? And you need me. God's not interested in us getting, you know, orders from him and then we run off and go do it. It's in the process. It's being involved in us. We talked about earlier. In the first hour, his plans are going to unfold as we are with him. And he is changing us. He is transforming us. We talked about last week how God is the original transformer. Maybe we can relate that to this segment here for you. But God does the transforming.
Mm-hmm.
We can't fix ourselves. He transforms us and prepares us and brings us from what we used to be to what he wants us to be. And in that transformation, then we become prepared to do what it is he wants us to do, whatever that is. It's like, yes, Lord. So, ambition. He says, James 3:16 says, where there is ambition, there is also disorder and every evil thing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Ambition's not good. Ambition is you running out there trying to do your own thing with all the wrong motives. And it never ends good. Think about it. Where there is ambition, there's disorder, there's chaos. Why is there so much chaos going on there? Why is there so much disorder? What? It's evil. It's evil. It needs to be done with humility, whatever we're doing in our life, whether it's for God. You know, everything needs to be done lower still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we say that you don't, if you stay low, you don't have to get low. That's a good thing. If you stay low, there's no getting low. You just stay where you are.
Mm.
But if you're not staying low, then you're gonna constantly be putting yourself low.
Mm-hmm.
And we shared before that if you do God's job, because God says humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. But if you do God's job and you raise yourself up, then that means God has to fill in your shoes and do your job and humble you. Mm-hmm. But if we can do our job description and do that well,
mm-hmm.
we do our job description, God can handle his job description. And he will lift us up when he feels that it's running, you know, and whatever he wants to do is fine. Francis French Payne continues to say in this article that ambition seeks to put to death what stands between it and spiritual fulfillment. Yet it is ambition itself that must die for us to reach fulfillment. You got to kill that ambition. You got to kill that. So many people, and I've experienced this in my walk when I was young, and the Lord's like, I want to. Like, who lied to this guy? Say he's gonna do. Who lied to this person? And or who told you you're gonna do all this stuff? Like, go catch that person. Sometimes people can't receive a prophetic word. Sometimes that's why you got to hear God. You have to have a word of knowledge, and you have to have the word of wisdom operating at the same time. Just because you have a word of knowledge, you have to have a word of wisdom and how you should share that word, because maybe that person is not mature enough to handle that word. And they receive that word, and it'll wind up destroying them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you don't need to have any parking lot prophets and all this type of stuff. It's like, you heard right, but you didn't seek God further enough, because if you had a word of wisdom, you would have heard from God that right word, maybe not the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. What God is requiring of us right now, he's requiring of a people that are totally dependent upon him, and everything that's raised above, everything that's not low, will be mowed down. You know, destruction comes with pride.
Before the fall.
And why not stay low? Why not say, hey, God, I'll do whatever it is that you want me to do in the timing that you want me to do it. Listen, the greatest thing that you can do, the greatest thing, is to learn to minister to the audience of one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn to minister to God. And I would say the second thing is to be humble enough to do whatever it is that he asks you to do. It may be serving, it may be whatever, but get in there and serve. Get in there and find ways that you can serve other people. Listen, he says, Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Let's put to death selfish ambition and put our complete trust and hope in God alone.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.